word that the Lord has given me to bring whenever we do the men meet and stuff. And for a couple, handful of us that was here last men's meeting, we're going to hear a little bit of the same. But I figure you women are going to like this a little bit too. And give some instruction according to God's word, how kingdom man's supposed to operate in his family. Now, kingdom man's foundation is the foundation God started. It's the family. He started it back in Genesis. It's God's kingdom. The family is the foundation that God used to expand his kingdom. I'll get into that in just a little bit. But a man, kingdom man, has to build a strong foundation. And just like any other thing, usually we talk about foundations, we think about building. Everybody can relate to that. What happens to a building that does not have a good or strong foundation? It folds. It doesn't stand very long. It's very weak. You'll have signs sometimes that come in a building. There'll be unlevel floors, doors that won't stay closed, won't stay open, or cracks in the wall. Eventually, the building's going to fall if you don't fix the weaknesses and the cracks in it. But a kingdom man's got to keep his foundation. He's got to keep his family strong. Nowadays, there's lots of things that comes against the family. There's just pure dysfunction. The family doesn't function right. Things happen. Things are not corrected when they're supposed to be corrected. Things are not addressed when they're supposed to be addressed. Godly ways, according to God's word. There's abuse, there's drug addiction, there's verbal addiction, physical abuse, all kinds of stuff can happen. And anybody knows, you don't have to go hunting on the internet for statistics, but they are there. I've seen them. And that kind of surprised me because I heard it and then I went and looked it up. Even in this day and time, it's a pretty big number. 50% of the marriages in the United States end up in divorce. That includes Christians. Goes across all religious lines, ethnic backgrounds. But of the marriages in the United States, 50% of them end up in divorce. Now, a lot of times, it's because the foundation wasn't strong. I ain't going to say every time, because I'm not in every situation. But I've seen a lot of them in my time, experienced some of them in my time. You want to keep your foundation strong. First thing you got to do is it says in Proverbs, you got to have wisdom. It says in Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The reverent fear, not like you're afraid of him, but give him the glory and honor of serving him because he give us life. Give us life more abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when a kingdom man is born again and he decides to become a kingdom man and live as a kingdom man in God's kingdom, there's a group. The first group that should know that he is a kingdom man, without any doubt, is his family. And if the man doesn't have a family, I'm sure sometime in his life he probably will have. But we're going to base all of this on the family because that is God's foundation. Family should know that you take God seriously, man. Now, this is more or less key to the man, but it can also be applied, some of it, to any person that serves the Lord. No, you can't be a man, but you can serve the Lord according to your place. We have all received a lot of instruction in the last few months about our place in the kingdom, in the church. And it's not just only the church. You can take a nation. And if you were to trace it all the way down, like I have said before, a nation actually is no better than the strength of its families. That's exactly all it is, except it's a lot bigger. It's like I said before, if you have a man, it all starts with the man. I've said in previous things that the Lord's given me. And the man teaches the family messed up, then the family is messed up. And if they go to church, they'd bring their messed up to the church. And then the church is messed up, it takes it to the community. The community's messed up, it takes it to the city. The city's messed up, it takes it to the state. In our form of government, the state's messed up, it takes it to the national government. And the nation's messed up, it's on the globe, you know, the whole world. And that's the way it starts. So the man has to keep his foundation strong and know where he stands with the Lord. I've talked about that before. You have to keep yourself aligned with the Lord and His Word. Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to talk about the foundation of the family, how the home was started, how the family was started, how it was established. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Talking about the man. Male and female. Created he them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every other living thing that moves upon the earth." That's when God established in his plan the foundation of his kingdom, family, male, female. Now, when he did that, male, of course, is the man, female, of course, is the woman. We'll get a little bit deeper in that in just a few minutes. Lord willing, I have enough time. And then he made a process by which man and woman can create beings just like them. We're born. Man is the leader. Woman is the helper. Child. Man, woman, child. God operates in trinities. He is a trinity. Triune being. And his foundation, his kingdom is built on the foundation of a trinity. Man, woman, child. Man is the leader. Woman is the helper. Children are the trainees. They're going to become leaders and helpers. They have to be trained. And that's how God expands his kingdoms, through the family. Now it says that God gave it to them, male and female, in the order of creation. Male first, he must lead, but not alone. Now a lot of people say, well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so in the Bible? Well, there are some people that did not have a wife or have a female helper in their life. But God had planned for them. He set things up differently for them. We're talking about people like you and me. Paul himself said, if you can be as I am, that's good. But if you can't be as I am, it's better to marry than to burn. What he's talking about, if you can follow the same road I follow and God set you up on, without letting the lust of the world, including the lust of the flesh, after the opposite sex, overtake you, that's good. But if you can't, it's better to marry and learn how to live in that situation than it is to burn either with the lust or burn afterward in hellfire for being in judgment of living in sin. Now, it's talking about dominion. It says dominion must happen with the male and the female, but it only happens, if you notice where it said there in Scripture, he said he created them male and female. And then he said in verse 28, I think it is, glasses on here. And he said, God told him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Dominion happens after marriage. Now, Shay and Destiny just got married yesterday, and me and April have been coaching them, and talking to them, and teaching them. I don't know how their little brains process it all. Hopefully, at least it got in there. Sometimes, anybody that's been married very long knows it's not easy. Always. Some days it's lots better than others. Some days it ain't. But marriage is a covenant. You might say, what is a covenant? I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit. But a covenant is something that happens, an agreement where God is involved. It's not just say, okay, yeah, I agree with you. No, you let God enter into it, it becomes covenant. God does not break his covenants. God set up marriage to be a covenant, not a mutual agreement between a man and a woman. Oh, we're happy. I love you. Okay, like Brother Scott said, let's go suck each other's air for, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. If you take a marriage and you only in it because the person makes you feel good or they look good or you're happy, you're taking away the power of the marriage. Because God gives marriage a covenant. It has power. It has a, anointing. When you do it and you obey it and according to God's word, it's covenant and there's anointing in it. That's how that you learn how to get through the hard times. I had a guy one time on the job I started where I work. I drive a truck where we go to get our truck loaded. Sometimes the line backs up and the drivers get out and talk to each other for a little while. It's been 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't know this guy. I'd seen him several times. He worked for a different company. And he walked up to me and he said, "You seem kind of like a down-to-earth guy." I mean, I'd spoke to him before. Didn't know his name. I know it now. It's Steve. And he said, "I want to ask you something." And I sincerely believe in my heart that God sent him to ask me. Because, I don't think I look that down to earth. I think I kind of look, grumpy. Kids tell me I do. Lots of times I do. Anyway, he said, "You look like a down to earth guy. I want to ask you something." I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "Me and my wife been having a lot of problems because my job sometimes I have to get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Just about every day. Sometimes used to it was earlier, depending on where you had to deliver at and what time. And it's stressful on the driver and his family." And he said, "My wife's kind of upset and we're having problems. So I have to get up so early and she don't like it. And this, that, and the other." I said, "I understand." I said, I'm blessed. I said, "I got a wife that understands. She don't like it lots of the time. She understands." And I have to give April credit because most of the time she was getting up and taking me to work. And Lord, if it was the other way around, it might not have been so nice. I would try. Shake your head. Anyway, he asked me that, and it hit me all of a sudden. Everything that I had been taught, I'd been taught well about how to treat. My dad never really mistreated my mom bad. But I'd been taught how to, treat a woman. But then the word come. And I started, spouting stuff out. So number one thing is you need to be with the Lord. He said, "Well, we hadn't been to church in a long time." I said, that's one thing against you right there. I'm not trying to be mean. But I said, I'm a born-again Christian, me and my wife and our family is. And I said, when you got the Lord in your marriage, I said, it don't make it perfect. It don't always make it easy. But it makes it good. He kind of looked at me and said, and this is the only way I ever know how to really explain it to anybody. I said, you'll have peace when you got the Lord in your marriage, especially you and your wife both. If you learn through God's word that marriage is 100%, not 50-50 like the world teaches. And he looked at me and he kind of looked around and he said, "That made a lot of sense." I said, "Yes, because God set it up that way." But I do believe God sent that guy to me because I talked to him about 20, 30 minutes and I asked him a few days later and everything, how's things going? And he said, "They're getting better. Praise the Lord. I hope he got to church." But anyway, I said that to say that God set the marriage plan up as a covenant. It's not for the man and the woman to be happy. Although that's included in it. It's not where you find your soulmate. That's actually, do you know that is a worldly phrase? What is our soul, our mind, wills, and emotion? Now, if that was true, that means that every one of us that's married, our spouse is just exactly, we think alike, we act alike, we feel alike. Not all of us do. Brother Scott and Sister Teresa has already told you, sometimes there's different. It's daylight and dark. Now, me and April, we have a lot of things in common. We like to work on stuff, mechanic on stuff, be outside, ride motorcycles. We butt heads every once in a while. It's not much. But because we're in God's covenant of the marriage, it works. And it don't matter if you're opposite or if you're alike. It can even work. One is born again and the other is not. I don't know how long it can work, but I can tell you this much. I heard Brother Tony Evans say one time his dad got born again first. Tony said he was young. He was like 8 or 9. And he said his mama didn't like it. Said she would cuss and scream and curse at him. And he said it got so bad his dad would have to get up at midnight when he knew that his mama was really asleep. and read and study his Bible because she just gave him such a hard time. It was hard to live with. And that's the way he kept doing it. And even though she gave him a hard time, he just kept on loving her and praying and, you know, asked the Lord for help. And Tony said, all the things that a man should do. He said, this went on for months. It's not days, weeks, months. He said, it might have went on a year. And he said, one night his dad was sitting in the living room at midnight reading his Bible, and his mother come down and sat down beside him and looked at him. And his dad thought he was fixing to get cussed out, but his mother looked at his dad and went to cry and said, I don't know what's going on. I didn't like what you're doing since you started doing this Jesus thing. But I know you as a person. No matter what I do, you keep loving me. And whatever it is you got, I know it's real and I want it. And he said his mother became born again. So it can even work in that kind of a situation. That's the power behind the covenant of God in marriage. Now, I said, God gave it to them, male and female, but they have dominion. And God structured it that way, which is also in Genesis 21 and 24. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read that real quick. Just nope, that's the wrong one. I'm looking at the wrong thing, Mark. It's chapter 1. So it doesn't match what I was saying. Verse 21 said, and to Adam also and his wife did the Lord. Well, that's the wrong scripture. I guess I just have to scratch that. I wrote the wrong scripture down, so y'all forgive me. But anyway, God set it up to expand his kingdom through the covenant of marriage, man and woman, and have children, and that's the foundation of God's kingdom. Now, this is before the Garden of Eden incident, the sin, man let sin have power over them. But God still wanted to expand his kingdom. Now, he created us in his image. Created man in his image. So therefore, he wants his kingdom expanded in his image. Even though it's in the shape it is in today, that's the reason we're here. And that's the reason he said, let us make them after our likeness and in our image. Now, God created man first. He's the leader. But then he took away from man and made and fashioned the woman out of the man. He created man out of dirt, took the woman out of man, created the woman. That's the reason the woman looks better. I just thought I'd throw that in. So, God structured it that way. He put the man to sleep, performed supernatural surgery on him, took something from him, and made him something and give back to him. Made him something better than what he lost. So, Adam lost something. It was a rib. He lost a rib in order to have a woman. To get it back, the rib, now he's got to take on more than he lost. A woman, a helper. Now Adam said he called her woman, flesh after my flesh, bone after my bone. He named her woman. Now, he's got back what he lost, plus some. He gained some. That's what happens also in marriage covenant. You get a helper. Now, it's a whole new message for, you know, God's word according to the woman in the marriage. I'll touch it some, but I'm mostly just going through the foundation of the family and the man. Because the man is the leader, and I am talking mostly to the man. Now, whenever Adam got his helper, he got some extra ingredients. And what makes you say that? Well, the woman is not just like the man. Our wives are not just like us. I love April with all that I have to say. If she has one fault that I can think of, and she don't mean it like Teresa says she is, when you ask April something, she's going to give you this big-eyed look like she's fixing to bite your head off. She's just going to blurt out what her answer is. And it's not going to really sound mean, but it's not going to sound friendly. She says that's the Yankee in her, but it's just her way sometimes. She don't mean nothing by it. I had to learn to get used to it at times. Because when we first met, you know, she said, oh, you're so cute, you're so sweet, oh, you love so loving, and da-da-da-da-da. What happened to all the sweet loving cuteness stuff, you know? And it still happens every once in a while. I tell her, like, that kind of hurt. Well, I can't help it. Well, you just did it again. In a little while, she'll come to me and she'll say, I'm sorry. I knew I did that, and I didn't mean to do it. I got flesh. I said, where did that flesh out of you? But anyway, man gets extra ingredients when he gets his helper. And a lot of men don't know how to handle that. In the world, they have all kinds of programs and psychological stuff, and it's really simple. It's God's Word. We're fixing to get into that. But you got to remember, man, God created man, he fashioned a woman, made her look better than us, give us a helper. And we're going to get in that helper part, and this is where the women are going to get the amens going on, at least in their mind. A woman is not to be your little personal servant. She's not to be just the being that brings you children. She's not supposed to be just the one that cooks you supper because you've been out, you know, sweating and working all day or whatever it is a person does. You know, if you sit behind the desk, just work. Take away from that. Honest work is good work. She's not supposed to be the one that does your laundry only and cleans your house and all that stuff. Now, her place to keep, as it says in Proverbs 31, to keep her mind from being idle, her hands from being idle, if she does these things, it is in honor of her place as a woman in the house and the husband in the family. Especially if she doesn't work. If she works a public job, I don't have to deal with that because her April don't. So all I'm going to say is you need, both of you need to get with the Lord and pray so how to work all that out, because he'll show you. But she is not supposed to be just those things to you. She's a helpmate. That don't mean she helps you whenever you ain't got time to do it yourself. That means she is a collaborator. What does that mean? It's not that fancy of a word. A collaborator is where at least two people are working together to achieve the same goal. Together. Now, everybody knows I like guitars, right? A lot. I love playing them. I play guitar until I can't hold my hands on them. But when I go to buy a new guitar, even if I'm going to do it, no, and I make my mind, I don't care what she says, I'm going to do it, which has happened before. I tell April, I want to buy a new guitar. And she'll say, how many do you need? Because I got like 7 or 8. I said, one more. And most of the time she'll say, go for it, you know, because, you know, every once in a while, I think once or twice I've heard her say, I ain't like causes to get kicked out of her house or something like that. You know, it kind of hurts a little bit financially, so I don't do that anymore. That's not godly. But it's also not godly if I go and spend money any way I want to without consulting with my wife, my collaborator. And some people might say, well, you make it. That's true. I am the one that works the job. But my wife is at home taking care of the household. And you know, if she got paid, she gets paid from a higher source than where I get paid, as far as money, dollars-wise, in our society. It becomes straight from the Lord. So she's my partner. She's my collaborator. I heard there's no saying in a poem, something like, you know, a man and woman's walking together, and a man says, you know, don't walk behind me, don't walk in front of me, walk beside me. That's kind of the way it is, but you do it under the leadership of the Lord. But she's not a companion, a cook, a maid, childbearer. I mean, that's not her only function. Granted, in our society, that a lot of women do that, and a lot of them are real good at it, and I guess some of them are not, but you know, I'm not here to judge women about that. But the purpose of a woman is to be a helper, collaborator, and when she is, and y'all get it right, we get it right, man and woman, then we get dominion. And guess what the men get to do? Lead. The married people that's in here, when the man leads according to the Word of God and does his part, and this is not when it says the man is the head of the household, that don't mean that you're like your boss at work. You do not have total control over your wife. If you want control over her, give her to the Lord and let the Lord control her, because you ain't supposed to control her. Now, there's things, you know, I'll get into some finer points and stuff, you ain't supposed to control her, but you're supposed to lead. You ain't supposed to be mean, and God forbid you ain't supposed to have no kind of fight because you want to be the man of the house. If it gets to that point in our marriage, I'm just going to tell Apple, well, you do what you want tonight. You know, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Me and the kids are going to church, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's the way it's going to happen. And I'm going to give her to God and let God deal with it. But when God established marriage, it's established it. And man, when you get the lead, and I don't want nobody to raise their hands, but I want every married woman in here to think about this. When your husband, when you know he's right, and he's right with the Lord, and he's leading you in a godly way, I can guarantee you, you don't have no problem submitting to him. And if you do, then I would suggest you sit down and talk to each other and get in God's Word. That's just my, I'm not a marriage counselor. God forbid, I'm not a marriage counselor. But I can tell you what God's Word says about it, I'm fixing it. Now, out of the group in the family that should know you're a kingdom man, as we've been talking about, your wife should know you're a kingdom man. What I mean by that, your wife should know without a doubt, come Sunday morning, you're ready to go to church, unless there's some kind of bad thing happening that you can't do it, physically cannot do it. Your wife should know without a doubt that you're going to live your life and lead the family and do all you can for the family, according to the Word of God. Not what the world says, not what the neighbors say, not because the neighbors did it, not because anybody did or said anything, but because God said it, and God's Word said it. When she knows that, she'll start to thrive in your marriage. You'll be surprised at the miraculous things that will happen. Now, it'll be perfect? No. But it'll be good. I can guarantee you that. Let's turn to Psalms 128. I can tell you, stand up here and talk to you all day long. Maybe I can convince you, maybe I can't. But I'm going to tell you what God's Word says about it. And we're not going to go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 also tell you what happens whenever you become a kingdom man, treat your wife according to God's principles and rules and His Word. We're going to start reading in Psalms 128. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. That's how we know this psalm is for a man. First two verses don't tell you that. Third verse says, thy wife. Ladies, I'm sorry, but this one doesn't apply to it. Wives, applies to the men. But y'all are involved, as always. My granddaddy had a muscadine vine. And I never understood why he done it, because he liked muscadines. You know, a lot of people in the country make muscadine jelly. Some make muscadine wine. He did. Him and my grandmother made jelly. And he'd pick them off the vine and eat them, and I did too. But he, every year, well, I remember what, right after he planted it, he put the post up. Some people call it an arbor. I don't know what you call it. He put some post up, and he tied the vine to it where it would grow around the post. And I was 6 years old or so, and granddad, what you doing? He said, I'm getting this vine up off the ground, son, so it can grow. That's what that verse means. When you have your wife and you're a kingdom man, and you set the environment for her to grow, she's going to thrive. It's like the vine. That's the reason it uses a vine as an illustration. And I remember in years to come, that vine grew around those posts. And when it filled the post up, granddaddy, he had it close to a tree. He tied it to a tree. And I said, granddaddy, why are you doing that? He said, well, I don't. He said, the tree can give it more support than I ever could. He said, I just keep building and building. He said, I'm going to let it grow on the tree. He said, besides, the birds are coming at it. He said other reasons he had to do it. But the number one thing was he made an environment for that vine to grow. When it started growing, guess what? It clings. That's how it grows. Man, whenever you set the environment for your wife to have a good, godly, Christian, kingdom foundation family, she's not only going to thrive, she's going to cling to it. She is made that way. God made her that way. That's her nature. And then as she's thriving and clinging just like vines do, she's going to cluster. That means she's going to have fruit. What does that mean? That means she's going to turn into the person that's either you think she ought to be, but at least she's going to turn into the person God wants her to be. And she's going to follow your lead if you follow God's lead, and this goes right down the path to nothing but success for everybody. Y'all work together on everything in your family, from finances to child rearing to cleaning house, whatever it is. And yes, man, it don't hurt to help clean the house. Now, I need to do more of it than I do. We'll get into that later. Bless you. Now, if you want some more attributes of a kingdom woman inside her kingdom home with her kingdom husband, read Psalms 31. Or not Psalms, Proverbs 31. That'll explain. She won't have, it's not like she'll have any choice, but she'll be so happy. Y'all be so happy. Like I said, it won't be perfect, but it'll be so good for you. You just won't know what to do. But you will. That also means when you create that environment, you have to work at it every day, man. I heard an old saying before, if you want a summer wife, you don't bring home a wintertime environment. What does that mean? Now, there's times, I'm as guilty of this as any man. Sometimes it's my job. Sometimes it's just because I'm tired. Sometimes it's, I just get upset. The daily stresses of life, everything coming at me, I just want to grrr, And April will tell me, you're awful grumpy. And I've learned, I finally tell her, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. Because I'm going to tell you something. God give me, I'm not as bad as I used to be, right? God give me a revelation. If my wife and my kids hear me complain about things that I have to do concerning my job and work and provide for them, how in the world can I ever think that I love them? Because I'm griping about having to take care of them. Or I have to do things to take care of them. Do I like everything I have to do? Not all the time. Like I said, my job requires me to get up real early in the morning. It is not fun. I like, when I go to sleep, I'm just like, man, I'm out. I like to sleep till the Lord says or my body says it's time to wake up. And I don't like getting up any earlier than that. But I've been working on that a whole lot, and I've been working on trying not to be as grumpy. My kids just say, you ain't nothing but a grumpy old man. But then I tell them, quit giving me a reason to be grumpy. But that wasn't a good answer. What my flesh, because I get ill after. But that's what it means. Create an environment of support and love. Now, I correct my kids a lot. And they'll tell you that I have, and I still do. I don't get to correct Destiny anymore. That's Shay's job and the Lord. But I can give her my opinion. She might not like it. She might not even want to hear it. But I can give it to her. But the other three boys in my care are my responsibility to God. I told them all three. I said, y'all are princes. You know what princes are? What? I said, princes are kings in training. We're kings and priests unto God. Y'all going to grow up in a godly home. We're going to serve God. They know it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you learn to do it with love. But we're going to, before we get all the way over to the women, to the children, there's three things, man, that you need to remember. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. We have all heard this scripture. And when I started studying this, and I learned it. I learned something, all right. And I've been trying my best to change it. Man, my wife is so good at being a collaborator and helper. I got a lot of catching up to do. complain and win. Gotta hurry. Chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, in that verse, it tells us to love our wives as Christ so loved the church, right? And gave himself for it. What did he do? He sacrificed himself. He became the Savior for the church. Now, husband, I just don't mean you can forgive your wife's sins. No, it's not the same thing. But you can be their Savior. But what I mean by that, you're supposed to be your wife's Savior. What that means is when she has a problem that she can't fix, she needs to come to you and you need to help to find a way to fix it. When she's having a bad day, you need to put your arms around her and at least tell her you love her and do everything you can to help her. When you see her struggling with a problem or a physical need or something she's doing, help her. Be her Savior. Be the one that's there when she needs you. Because Savior saves somebody. Now, Jesus saved the church from sin. Husbands, you're to be your wife's Savior in your marriage. And also, it says in verse 26, it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wife. Christ will love the church. Verse 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You're supposed to be her sanctifier. Now, I'm not saying that the husband is supposed to take Jesus' place in his wife's life. Not at all. I'm using some of the same words to give you some meanings of how to do that. To be her sanctifier, the word sanctify means to change from one thing into another, which is what Jesus does to us with the washing of the water by the word. We have become sanctified, set apart unto him. We're no longer born lost. We're born again. We're part of the church. Husbands, sanctify your wives. If she needs changing, help her to change. What does that mean? Well, if she's got a problem, you know she's got a problem. Don't just leave her out there in left field to do it all by herself. Help her. I don't care if it means cleaning the house, washing the vehicle, helping with the kids, changing diapers. Or if she's having a problem at work, at the very least that you could do is at least sit down, get on your knees, lay hands on her and pray with her. It does not hurt for your wife to hear you pray out loud for her. And you, some people, because I had a guy tell me, well, I pray for my wife every day. Well, does she know it? Some wives probably say, well, I probably figure he does. But you know what? If she was to hear it, I guarantee you're going to do a whole lot better. But sanctifying means you help her become something that she is not. Now, verse 27 says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Apply that analogy, so to speak, to your wife. Jesus did that for the church, where he presented to the Lord without spot or blemish. In other words, perfect. You apply them same principles to your wife, you can present her to the Lord. And her ways will be sanctified and holy before the Lord. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, that was for a long, long time I kind of got the meaning to that, but the Lord gave me a revelation on that. That means, husbands, you're supposed to be your wife's satisfier. You're supposed to help her become satisfied in her life, in her place, in the marriage, in everything that she does, because she's your collaborator, she's your helper. Do you notice whenever God wrote, had Moses write the Bible in these scriptures, the wives is never referred to as a maid, a cook, as all the things I mentioned before. It's a helper, a collaborator. When you become the satisfier, what it means by that verse, satisfy her with the things that she likes, like you like to satisfy yourself. Old joke is, you know, my wife wanted a fishing rod for her birthday. In my case, that works good because my wife likes to fish. But if I buy my wife a guitar for her birthday, that's not too good. She has no use for a guitar. I'm surprised the woman don't hate them. Honestly, I mean, She allows me to spend a lot of time playing my guitar. She rarely ever bothers me about it. And when she does, it's just bona fide reason. She needs to get off the guitar, Mom. It's 12 o'clock. We've got to go to church tomorrow. Okay. But anyhow, this is where I was talking about a while ago. I've got a lot of catching up to do. Man, make two lists. If you do something for yourself, if you can't do that same thing for your wife, do something for your wife just as equal. If she helps you, I should have said this while I forgot to. This has got to do with the Savior. When you make that list, make another list. List down the things she does for you to help you and everything. Make a list down for what you do to help her. If your list for what you do to help her is shorter than what she does to help you, or not the Savior. And I'm going to go on record here in front of everybody and Facebook. I'm not the Savior, but I'm getting close. My wife is real good about helping me. I mean, she'll throw down every single thing she has to do to help me do one thing. It don't matter what it is. Putting strings on my guitar, and she don't like guitar. She likes to hear me play them. She don't like them. Work on my motorcycle. Even if it's something she don't like at all, she will lay down everything she's doing to help me do that one thing. And I praise God. And it took me a while, you know, I used to sit back and, man, I got the coolest wife in the world. If I don't even have to ask her. If I say, well, I think I'm going to go down here and do that, you know, 5 minutes later, here she comes. What are you doing? I'm going to help her. Well, you don't have to come help me, babes. Well, I'm your helpmate. I'm going to help her. I can only imagine the blessings she gets from that. And when God gave me a revelation about this, her list is real long and mine's kind of short. So I'm trying to get that back like this, because I want to be living under God's will for my life. That's what I choose to do. I want everybody in my family, mainly and firstly my wife, to achieve the blessings and the place that we have in the kingdom. So you have to be her Savior, you need to be her sanctifier, and you need to be her satisfier. That's what those verses mean. Also, I'm not going to turn to it because we don't have but a few minutes. You might say, well, you know, I don't feel like I have to do that. Okay. Zach, we put up 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. I've known this for a long time. And it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according, as it's talking about their wives, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what it means by a weaker vessel? It don't mean she's not as good as you, because she is created after you. Woman is created out of the man. God created man in his image. Therefore, woman is his image too. She just has a different place. She has a different role. She has a different job. If you find a time in your life that you feel like God's way over here, maybe that's something in your marriage that needs to be taken care of. That last line is not happening. Do you want me to translate that real bluntly in hick form? Man, take care of your wives or I ain't going to listen to you. I don't know how else to say it. Now, let me put it a different way. God said, man, take care of your wives if my word says, or I'm not going to listen to you. You might think that's not so, but I'm telling you, I know it is. I used to have a problem right after me and April first got to marry, started church. I knew the man's supposed to be the leader of the house. I just didn't want the responsibility. You know, I just like, oh, man, I'm sick. I've had to do stuff all my life. You know, I've had to do this and do that. I've been a boss, fiddling, or did this. I just didn't want to do it. And then I had another problem I didn't realize I had. I had a spot in my life for a couple of years that I knew I was born again, and I knew that God loved me, and God had a plan for me. But I, you know, Brother Scott, it says faith starts where the will of God is known. And I started praying, Lord, where is the plan for my life? What do you want me to do? And I kept having this empty space. I know God's hearing, you know, I figured God's hearing my prayer. It turns out he was. You know when my life started changing? When I started learning how to be kingdom man, as I call it. How to lead my family, how to treat my wife, take stuff off of her. One of the best ways I've seen it is, a lot of, is Scotty says that anything he can possibly do for his wife, Sister Teresa, to keep strain, pressure, and undue burden off her, he does. If you can do that, you're going to be right up along the lines of these scriptures. And if you can't, you're going to have to do like I did and repent and work real hard at it, because it's worth it. Because the man and the woman come together under the marriage covenant to start building the family. They're building the foundation of God's kingdom. And that pleases God. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?